views and opinions expressed on WKKC are not those of WKKC or the City Colleges of Chicago.
It's now time for the all-new Consumer's Eye, a show that focuses on vital issues concerning the community. If you have any questions about today's topic, call us at 773-488-9552. And now, here are your hosts, Derek McNeil and Charles Young, with the all-new Consumer's Eye on WKKC 89.3 FM.
And every Saturday morning, we bring you a show full of information. This is the kind of show if you have problems with banks, currency exchanges, any of your financial institutions. If you have problems with hospitals and doctors, Consumer's Eye is the show for you. Even if you have problems with lawyers, Consumer's Eye was given an award from a national legal reform organization for the show that we produced about how to sue your lawyer. And I still get calls and letters from people who tuned into that show several months ago and really enjoyed it. So I'm going to follow up with another show about how to sue your lawyer so people can know that you have recourse with regards to complaints and et cetera that you may have against your lawyer. By the way, I'm Derek McNeil.
And I'm Charles Young.
And on this morning, we're going to be honored to have joining us the Sun-Times columnist, consumer reporter, and we've had her a couple of times before. I have not had her since she's had the column, The Fixer. And so we're going to be honored to have joining us Stephanie Zimmerman, the writer and author of The Fixer, which is a Chicago Sun-Times article that helps consumers with complaints. And she's recovered the last recollection that I believe I read, almost $400,000 on behalf of consumers. And we know that this is the season that many people have spent money. We've bought new televisions, we've bought iPods, we've bought laptops. Electronics products are very difficult when you're easy to spend your money on them, very hard to get your money back, and sometimes hard to get an exchange and other products. So we're going to be talking about those types of issues this morning. Before I get into that, though, I want to comment about enhanced telecommunications. On last week, we briefly talked about enhanced telecommunications. Many of you that listen to the Consumer's Eye are aware that for 7 years I served on the board of directors of the Citizens Utility Board. Enhanced telecommunications, one of our colleagues here on WKKC indicated that she called 411 for information, and she was given a phone number, et cetera. Then she said when she received her phone bill, Bernetta Pearson, she said when she received her phone bill, she had an $8 charge from a company called Enhanced Telecommunications, which she didn't know anything about. When she followed up with them, she was alerted that they are a subscriber service that allows people free 411 calls. So she said, well, I never subscribed. So the gentleman told her, well, I'll give you your money back. She said she didn't have to ask him for the money or anything. So I called them yesterday, trying to get a hold to someone in consumer relations, media relations, et cetera. And they shared with me they did not have a phone number for their corporate office. They didn't know what the number would be. And to resolve any consumer complaints, had to write them a letter. So I shared with them, you can rest your bottom dollar, buddy, on the next couple of shows, yeah, I'm going to write you this letter, but on the next couple of shows, we're going to be following up with you because all we're trying to find out is how does a person subscribe to this service without them indicating that to you?
And then what do they get for the money that they are spending on this service?
You don't pay for 411. So if you pay the $8, you know, 411 now is $1.25.
Right.
You don't pay for 411 information calls because you've paid them the subscription fee.
No, is this a one-time or a monthly fee?
It's a monthly fee. But in any event, once again, we have Stephanie Zimmerman from the Chicago Sun-Times, The Fixer. Stephanie?
Hi, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Thank you for joining us this morning. A great honor to interview you once again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let me also share with you that a couple of people have shared with me that you had in the paper that you were going to be on the show today, so let me thank you for that. Moving forward, in analyzing The Fixer, why did you decide, I know you've been a longtime consumer reporter, why did you, and why did the Sun-Times editorial decide to get involved in the a regular basis?
Yeah, you know, it was actually created by our publisher, John Cruikshank, who just last fall left the paper to go back to Canada. He was a great publisher. We loved him. He was the one who created the column. And, you know, I think he saw the wisdom in at that time, there was nothing in either major paper in Chicago to do this kind of work. And I think he saw the wisdom in giving consumers a place to go when they were just really getting the runaround, had just exhausted all their own resources. And our current publisher, Cyrus Freeheim, has been very supportive of it, too, and it's just been a real joy to be able to do that for readers.
Yes, very good. Well, by the way, legendary disc jockey and radio personality Richard Pegee, who is now on WKKC, has been around radio about 50 years all over radio in Chicago. He told me to tell you, you do a great job in your writing, and he's written you a couple of complimentary letters, so he told me to make sure I share that with you. Yes.
He's nice to say that.
Yes, very good. Let me ask you, as we talked about briefly, many people have purchased items during the holiday season that now realize or recognize that those items may not work properly. They may need to take them back. They may need a refund. Particularly, I'd like to begin by focusing on some of the electronics products because that's where consumers have many problems in receiving either an exchange and definitely a refund. Very difficult to get a refund on electronics products. So
right.
If you would comment about that, please.
Right. And, you know, it's almost something that we're all going to have to remember for next year because the key thing to remember with refund and return and exchange policies is that they are a privilege. They're not a right. Each store has the ability on their own to set their own policy. Now, the exception is a defective item, okay? Under the law, there's always an expectation that something should be at least working properly. But if it's just an item that you either received as a gift and it's not what you wanted or the color is wrong or the size is wrong and it's not defective, you're really at the mercy of the store. And stores have been getting, you know, much tougher, as we've all seen in recent years, in terms of tightening up their return policies. Many of them are, you know, requiring a receipt or shortening the amount of time that they allow people to come in. Some of them are giving only store credit in exchange instead of giving a cash refund. Many stores have instituted restocking fees of sometimes 15% on electronics items, you know, digital cameras and those types of things. Many stores will not even accept returns on certain items where the packaging has been opened. This is particularly true for, you know, DVDs or video games or, you know,
yes,
computer software, things that they think people might have used.
Yeah, let me comment about that if I could, because you have a good point about the restocking fee and about the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that consumers have to realize is that often the managers or supervisors have a right to waive a lot of these restocking fees and to take back products. I'm going to give you an example, okay? Mm-hmm. I like karate movies, okay? Mm-hmm. So I went and bought me a Bruce Lee karate movie. And I didn't realize that this movie had been, and many of the karate movies are altered with American voices. But generally, that's disclosed on the cover of the DVD or the videotape. So in any event, I shared that with the manager. And he told me, well, I like karate movies, so I'm going to go ahead and give you your money back.
Oh, well, that's great. And, you know, that's a great point because a lot of people that I hear from in my job, they, you know, first of all, they think being able to return something is their right. Well, that's not true. It's, you have to remember, it's your privilege. And so they go in there just completely unhinged. They're angry. They're yelling. They, you know, they've got this, they're demanding what they want. And you really have to be nice to the people that are working at the store. I mean, they're human beings just like you and I. And you need to be nice because, like you said, there is a lot of leeway. And especially if you're dealing with an independent store, they're going to have a ton of leeway. You should be very nice and explain that you're if you've been there many times, you know, you're a longtime customer. They have the ability many times to circumvent those policies that they have written down.
A couple of points that I would like to raise just with you. Don't know if you are aware of them or not, but so we'll be on the same page. In the city of Chicago, it is required for all business entities to post their refund and exchange policies. Mm-hmm. So consumers should first of all be aware of that you are, the business entity is required to post their refund and exchange policy. So prior to doing business with one of these stores, you want to make sure that you kind of know that policy mm-hmm. prior to doing business with them. Also, secondly, I want you to be aware that in several states, in fact, there are 14 states that have refund and exchange laws. Illinois is not one of those states. Mm-hmm. So your point about that it is the store does not have to render a refund or an exchange is a great point. Mm-hmm. However, more and more jurisdictions are going towards having a mandatory refund and exchange law, particularly mm-hmm. since most business entities have tightened up their mm-hmm. refund policy, starting here in Chicago with Marshall Fields and other major stores.
Yeah, and you know it would be so nice if there could be some kind of uniform law, you know, where people would have an expectation. But you're absolutely right. You have to look at what's posted in the store at the time of purchase. The other thing to remember is so many of us shop online, and there's always a place to click for refund and exchange policies, and many people just buy the item without having read that. You really need to read through that, because if you're purchasing something online that you later need to return, there may be shipping costs involved and things like that, and you should know up front what you're getting into.
Great point, because those shipping costs can be quite expensive, particularly when you're mailing something that has a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so it may almost cost as much to return it in shipping than it did to buy it.
Right. And, you know, do you have a minute? Because there was another fascinating thing that I came across in this time of year doing some reporting on this. Many stores now are actually using software to track people's returns, individual customers' returns, because they're looking for signs of what they think are fraud.
Whoa, wait a minute. Let me make sure I understand this. So this software, is this at one store or is this a uniform software?
Yeah, well, it depends.
Like a credit report.
It depends what store you're at. Many of the major retailers have their own proprietary systems that they use. And a lot of other retailers use this system. It's called the Return Exchange. You can find, they have a website called the returnexchange.com.
Okay.
And they have client retailers. And they customize software for each one of them based on their return policies. So if I'm a customer of, you know, store XYZ, and I come in there and I'm making a return, I'm making frequent returns. It depends on what the store is looking for. Maybe I'm making frequent returns. Maybe I'm making high value returns. Maybe I'm making returns of some kind of category of product. If something sets off an alarm with them and they think that I'm committing fraud somehow, either through shoplifting and trying to return something or buying clothing, wearing it once and trying to return it, that type of thing. If they see any patterns that they think are suspicious, they can bar you from making any future returns.
I found that
to be amazing.
Let me ask you to hold that point. That is extremely interesting. Mm-hmm. We're going to follow up with that in just a moment. You're listening to WKKC 89.3 FM. This is the Consumer's Eye Show. And today we are honored to have joining us Miss Stephanie Zimmerman, the fixer of the Chicago Sun-Times. And we're talking about this tracking service that tracks your returns and refunds and et cetera. So just more and more of the erosion, in my view, of the consumer's rights and et cetera. So consumers have to be very careful today in just about everything that we do. However, what's interesting is that these same people who want to track you, they're quick to take your money. Everyone now wants your money. They're quick to take your money. They got all type of mechanisms, credit cards, debit cards, cash, so forth. But yet, when it's time for you to get your money back, those same individuals are not so nice. They aren't so smiley face when you're asking for a refund or an exchange or a defective product.
Right, and I think the software thing is really fascinating. This is the future here, you know. And if you go on the web to the website's thereturnexchange.com, it gives all the information of what they won't tell you is which stores are using it, because they consider that private information. But what they do say is that when they track people's returns, they're looking for these so-called serial returners, people who are frequently making returns. They say that they do not share the information between retailers, so they wouldn't tell retailer A about what you were doing with retailer B. That's what they say. And they also say that they're not sharing that information with the credit reporting bureaus. And there's a way for you as a consumer to request your file to see what they have on you. But I just thought that was interesting because, you know, I am frequently buying, you know, I'm at the store and I've got my kids with me. It's the weekend. It's crazy. And you're trying to make a decision and you can't think clearly because there's so many distractions. And I'll just buy something because I think it's going to work, you know, piece of clothing or whatever. And when you get it home, it doesn't look right. And I'll return it. And after I read that, I thought, oh, my goodness, maybe, you know, if they're watching that closely, you really need to be careful or they might think that you're committing some kind of fraud.
Well, isn't it interesting that now in so many instances people feel that you're committing fraud? Let me share with you another story, which I'd like to get you to comment on. And, in fact, I'm going to do a radio show about it. The other day I was in Walgreens, and I only had a $100 bill. So the young lady was extremely nice in the product. I think I was buying my mother a Christmas gift. And the young lady was extremely nice. In any event, you know how nowadays they look at your money to, I guess, ascertain if it is authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared with her, I said, what type of training were you given to ascertain about this money and it being authentic? Well, they just teach us to look at the money, you hold it up in the light and blah, blah, blah. No, in other words, what she was saying didn't really add up to me. Right. In any event, she shared with me the policy, at least that this particular Walgreens, and I don't know if this is the policy at most stores, but she shared with me if an employee and a manager deems that currency is counterfeit, mm-hmm. the business entity seizes the currency.
Oh.
Have you heard anything like that?
No, I don't know. I have not heard that, but
and
that
then,
will be true.
And then 2 days later, it happened to a very good friend of mine, and he happened to be with me while I was at that Walgreens.
Uh-huh.
So I was sharing with her, well, what gives the manager or the business entity the right to seize your money? You're not a customs official or a treasury agent.
Yeah, that doesn't sound right.
And so he was at a gas station, and he shared with me the gas station attendant attempted to seize his money.
Okay.
So he told the gas station attendant to call the police. They called out the police. the police came and gave him the money back. But the point being is that if this is the case, this is a hell of a policy. And so then you have to ask yourself, why are you analyzing my money? And if my money is not, if my money is defective, that you deem, what are you going to do with it?
Yeah, yeah, really, that could be a pretty lucrative side business, just seizing people's money. I haven't heard that, but you know what? I'm sure it goes on.
Yeah, well, we're going to follow up with that. Maybe I'll send you some correspondence in my investigation.
Okay.
Pursuant to that.
Thank you. I would love to hear more about it.
Now, one of the things that you were talking about that I'd like to get you to expand on just a little bit, and that is online shopping, and particularly online refunds and exchanges. Mm-hmm. What has been your experience and your readers? What have they commented to you regarding that?
Well, I mean, I think a lot of the letters that I get from readers really are a result of unfortunately, them not necessarily understanding up front what the policy is. I can't stress that enough. When you buy anything online, you really got to read all those extremely boring and long pieces of fine print because... It really varies. I mean, you might be on the hook for shipping costs, like we said. Another complaint that I've heard from people, especially if they're dealing with not the best online places, they're a little bit shady. Okay. What they'll say is, in order to return the item, you know, you can return the item, but in order to return the item, you need to get a return authorization number before you do that. So you have to call the company, and they give you a return authorization number. You ship it back with this number. Well, unfortunately, when you want to make the return and you call their phone number, you can't get through to a human being. Therefore, you can't get a return authorization number, and you can't return the item. It's like a vicious circle. So, I mean, things like that, you know, a lot of that can be avoided by dealing with a reputable merchant. The better-known ones, like, for instance, Amazon.com, for the holidays, extended its return time. So they're giving people until the end of January to return items, mainly because people might have bought something in November as a Christmas present, and it sat in their closet, and they finally gave it to their loved one on December 25th. Well, you know, it's only fair to lengthen the exchange policy time till January 31st. That's in the case of Amazon. Different retailers do different things. So it really... helps to know on the front end, you know, the record of the merchant that you're dealing with and really all the ins and outs of what their return policies are.
Yeah, you bring up some great points. Let me ask you, because you take me back just a moment, what would be some of your bullet points in a consumer filing a complaint or if you're displeased with service and or a refund and exchange, what should be some of the initial steps that you would recommend that a consumer take?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I mean, it's sort of the way I recommend consumers go about any complaint. And as far as the fixer column, I always see the fixers being kind of the place of last resort. I don't really help people who haven't tried to first work it out on their own. And in the case of an exchange or a refund policy that or a transaction that you don't feel went well, I mean, obviously you're going to want to try to appeal to the get the clerk on your side. You want to be nice and not, you know, like we were saying, don't come in there being angry and mean. You want to try to get this person to stand in your shoes and see it from your perspective, just like you did with that karate video. You know, get the guy on your side. And if that doesn't work, you know, see if there's a manager that you can, you know, appeal to. And then, you know, you just kind of keep taking it up the line. But the problem with returns, with return policies, again, you're really, unfortunately, at the mercy of the store. Unless it's a defective item, that's a whole other matter. But if it's just something that you wanted to return, you're really at their mercy. One other very important point is that if you were given a gift from someone and they didn't give you a gift receipt, you know, say your Aunt Susie gave you a sweater for Christmas and it's the wrong color, but she didn't give you a gift receipt, when you go to return it, you may actually only get, depending upon the store, you may only get the current retail price. And now in January, all that stuff is on sale. So it's probably marked down 50%. That's the cash you're going to get for it. You're not going to get, or you may even get in-store credit, which would be even worse. But you may not necessarily get the price that your relative had paid for it. So that's unfortunate. But, you know, with these things, you know, you're kind of at the mercy of the store, unfortunately.
Yes. Interesting. Now, with regards to the store and each entity having a different policy, is there a website that you might could refer us to that rate the stores as far as their refund or exchange policies? In other words, what I'm trying to do is get the consumer to look into this prior to doing business with these stores and so forth. You know what? May I ask you, Stephanie Zimmerman, can you stay with us just a little bit longer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you could stay with us just a little bit longer, we'd like to keep you in and talk more about consumer rights, consumer protection. We have joining us Stephanie Zimmerman, the fixer with the Chicago Sun-Times, and we are honored with the great information that she's giving us today, particularly all of these secret policies, because a lot of this stuff I've never heard of, and I kind of regularly fight and protect consumers and their rights. So this is a great show for you to be taking notes and so forth. So stay tuned. We'll be back after the break. Do you have problems understanding utility bills? Are you fed up with skyrocketing gas bills and poor service from your companies? The Citizens Utility Board, CUB, is a nonprofit utility watchdog organization that has saved Illinois consumers over $5 billion. To find out how CUB can help you, call 1-800-669-5556. That's 800-669-5556.
Here's Keith Reed, the voice of Kennedy King Basketball.
Catch the Statesman begin the second half of the season Tuesday, January 15th versus Olivet Nazarene, 7 p.m.
For ticket info, call 773-602-5358. That's 773-602-5358. Come see the Statesman and the Lady Statesman at the new Kennedy King College Gymnasium, 63rd and Halsted in the W Building. Watch the Statesman as they flat out.
Bring it.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Right on here. You can see it. Well, you can't see it. You can touch it. Well, you can't actually touch
it. Hey, mister.
Kid, don't bother me. Can't you see I'm working here?
Just tell them that radon is a radioactive gas that is the leading cause of lung cancer among non-smokers in the U.S., and a free radon test kit is available by calling 800-325-1245.
Hey, kid, you want a job?
Sponsored by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency in cooperation with the Illinois Broadcasters Association.
Come on! Come back here!
Stop! Man. Oh, I want the ball!
If you think it's hard living with the noise, imagine having to live with the silence. 1 in 5 kids will sniff household products to get high. Inhalant abuse can kill them, even the first time. So start making some noise of your own. Talk to your kids today. Visit drugfree.org/inhalants. A message from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
89.3 WKKC Radio with an attitude.
You're listening to the all-new Consumer's Eye. If you have any questions concerning today's topic, feel free to call us at 773-488-9552. 488-9552. And now, back to Derek McNeil and Charles Young with the all-new Consumer's Eye, right here on WKKC 89.3 FM.
And we're back with the Consumer's Eye. I'm Derek McNeil.
And I'm Charles Young.
This morning we're honored to have joining us Miss Stephanie Zimmerman, the fixer with the Chicago Sun-Times. And off air, we were just talking about some of the problems, which leads me to a question that I'd like to ask you, Ms. Zimmerman. I really appreciate your time this morning. What I'd like to come back and ask you is, do you feel that service is worse, and I don't know, you know, where you shop or anything like that, but do you feel that service is worse in the black community than it is in other neighborhoods and some of the things that I may be raising? Because the thing about the cash, it appears that everyone in the studio, and I've gotten calls, and people appear that this is a regular business practice that people do on the South Side.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I couldn't speak to that. The only thing I can say is I have noticed that thing with the dollar or the $100 bill that you described. I've never, I usually don't have a $100 bill in my purse. So
yeah, most people, that ain't a problem.
But one thing I've noticed is that some retailers in various parts of the city behave differently. It's true. Like, there was one major store that I went into where every single person, regardless of who they were, was on the way out. There was a guy standing there searching through your bags to make sure that you weren't stealing anything. And I just find that so offensive.
So
because,
do I.
You know, I knew that if I'd been out in some, you know, wealthy suburb, I couldn't imagine that they would look me over that way. So, yeah, I'm sure that stuff happens.
And in some instances, many retailers seize your bags, particularly on the South Side. For example, if you go into a store, they will request that you deposit whatever you're carrying security guard. You're familiar with that?
Yeah, and you know what else? I once was purchasing, I can't remember what it was. It was at one of those big warehouse places, and I was buying something in a box, and they were going through the boxes to make sure I wasn't putting other items in that box. Mm-hmm. I just thought, that's crazy.
Don't you find that very insulting?
Happens. Yeah.
May I ask you, I share with people, one of the problems with a security guard seizing your property, you see, so often people are unaware of their basic legal rights. And I teach a lot of this in my class. When you step into a store, person tells you, okay, we require you to deposit your bag and so forth with us. That's a seizure of your property. With a seizure of your property, you have certain rights thereof. For example, what happens if you give my bag to someone else? Mm-hmm. Who's liable for that?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Who's responsible for that? So I tell consumers, be very careful with being so quickly to turn over your stuff to these security guards and stores and so forth. And then, Mrs. Zimmerman, we found out that particularly at the Walgreens store, because we've just been involved in some litigation with them and their security, often they don't even have what are known as licensed security guards. So they have store employees acting as security guards for the company in violation of the Illinois statute.
Yeah, you have to be licensed to be a security guard.
Absolutely. And so we have sued them a couple of times and recovered cash settlements. But the point being is that it's really been some hanky-panky going on at some of these stores, particularly in the black community, with their alleged security and the customers that they interrelate to. So
yeah.
I thought I would just share that information with you.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I mean, that stuff unfortunately goes on. You know, and the other thing is, I mean, I guess it depends how badly you need to be at that particular store. If you don't want to have them watch your bag, I guess you have the right to just leave. But that could be a problem if you live in a community that doesn't have a lot of stores and you don't have a lot of choices.
Yes, that's true. But the point that I'm making, though, is that the community has a interest in the businesses that are in their community. So,
sure.
You know, that's on all of us, not just that individual who's doing that. Let me ask you this in your closing remarks. I'd like for you to provide information on where our listeners and your procedure, if our listeners have a complaint or information that they cannot get resolved,
mm-hmm.
if you would provide your contact information over at the Sun-Times.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. The column, The Fixer, it runs four times a week in the Sun-Times, and it's really, like I said, kind of a place of last resort if you've tried on your own and you still get in the runaround. The only thing is, we get a lot of letters. We get about 8,000 letters a year, and we can't get to every last one. So, you know, it doesn't guarantee that we'll pursue your letter. The best way to write in would be to go to www.suntimes.com, click where it says columns, that's a little list of all the columnists, and then click on the fixer. And there you can fill out a short complaint form. It's really easy. We also accept snail mail. It's just a lot easier online. And when you're up on that part of the website where you fill out the complaint form, there's also a really nice list of different consumer tips on everything from if you've been a victim of identity theft to cell phones to how to save gas, stuff like that.
Okay.
And then there's also a place to click to easily file and directly file with the Better Business Bureau, the Illinois Attorney General Office, the Chicago Department of Consumer Services, lots of great places where you can go to get help in case your letter is not chosen by us.
Okay, interesting. Now, if you would, provide the address for our listeners that would like to write the letter.
Okay. It's The Fixer, Chicago Sun-Times, 350 North Orleans Street, Orleans like New Orleans, Chicago 60654. And and I forgot to say, after the 350 North Orleans Street, write Chicago Sun-Times 9th Floor Newsroom. It's got to go to the newsroom. So, so that's our sort of our regular mail address.
Okay. On that note, let me thank you so much and share what a great honor it has been to interview you again. I look forward to working with you in the near future.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Okay.
Okay.
You're listening to The Consumer's Eye, talking about consumer issues and problems that people have. And one of the great things about The Consumer's Eye, and I take great pride in that, we're at the forefront of consumer protection. And that's because I do my homework. And when I come on the air, I'm prepared to fight. And I'm not going to take anything less. And just interviewing her really lets us know that we do a great job here at The Consumer's Eye. As probably one of the city's foremost consumer protection organizations. We have a caller on the line. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I just happened to be in the shower, doing your discussion. I caught part of it.
Yes.
But I'm a frequent consumer in reference to online shopping.
Yes, sir.
And I know that usually when you purchase items, if they're purchased from out of state, you're normally not assessed that particular state's tax.
Sales tax, correct.
Yeah. Now, I got an item yesterday, and I was looking at it, and I noticed that I was charged their state tax. Now, I know that's something that's probably that I can dispute.
That would be correct. May I ask, what state was that?
Ohio.
Okay.
But let me also explain that they do have an outlet here in Chicago.
There lies the problem. That's why you were assessed the Illinois tax. That was going to be my next point. Were you assessed an Illinois tax or an Ohio tax?
I didn't compute it, but I would assume that it's probably an Illinois tax.
Okay, there lies the problem. When the business entity has a physical address in the state where the order is placed from, there must be a attributable and underlining tax charge or assessed the taxpayer.
Okay, because it was shipped from Ohio.
Yes, I recognize that. Okay. However, the business who shipped it from Ohio also has a physical location in Illinois, correct?
Right.
That's your answer.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sir. Good looking out on your consumerism, though. Appreciate that. Those are the kind of details that we appreciate and appreciate you sharing that here on The Consumer's Eye this morning.
Well, I certainly appreciate your program.
Yes.
You know, it's a tremendous help, because a lot of people are not aware of this.
You're absolutely correct, and many people are. Our rights are just being eroded in so many respects of our rights, and that's why it takes people like you to call in and share your information, with your block club, with your community, with your schools, because we need to pass along this great consumer education, because nowadays everybody wants your money. Nobody wants to give it back.
Exactly.
Yes, sir. So once again, thank you for calling, and continue listening.
Thank you very much.
If you have any topic ideas or shows that you'd like to do, give us a call, okay?
I most certainly will.
All righty. Thank you. You're listening to The Consumer's Eye Radio Show. If you'd like to give us a call this morning, feel free to call us at 488-9552, 488-9552, 488-WKKC.
Derek, I'd like to alert our listening audience if you purchase an item, make sure that you hold on to that receipt for an extended period of time. Most stores or most entities require that you keep the original packaging. Now, come on, let's be realistic. You know that you purchase an item, if it's an electronic or whatever type of item it is, you look at it, you assess if everything's there before setting it up, and you start to use it. If that item is defective in a short period of time, of course you're going to hold on to the packaging. But yes, when we purchase that item, we are under the premise that that item is not defective, that is in good operating condition. So, therefore, there's no need to hold on to the packaging.
Good point, Charles. We have a caller on the line again. Good morning. You're on the Consumer's Eye.
Is that me?
Yes, ma'am.
Hey.
Yes.
I was trying to get on. Hi, this is Bernetta.
Yes, hello, Bernetta. How are you?
I'm good. How are you and your listening audience?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. Your show is good, and you shared my experience. Hello?
Yes, we're here. I'm listening to you.
Oh, okay. You shared my experience because I wasn't where I could hear the show.
Okay.
I just heard the last part.
Well, what we talked about in the initial part with regards to this enhanced telecommunications, I shared with the listeners that I contacted them pursuant to the show that we had last week, and upon me contacting them, I was informed that they did not have a corporate telephone number. They did not have a consumer relations person or a media relations person that would be available, or they didn't know their name and they didn't have a phone number for them. The only thing they could give me was an address. So I shared with them that I would be following up with them, and I share the same with you.
Okay.
Because this is ridiculous. But
well,
once again, you can charge my bill, but I can't get a consumer complaint person.
Well, I'm happy that you did that, Derek. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, and I have another something for you when you get off the air.
Okay.
Thank you so much for putting that out there because it's so important.
Yes, well, we're going to be following up with that in my next two shows. Top of my show, I'm going to be talking about enhanced telecommunications. So,
okay.
Bernetta, let me thank you for listening and thank you for calling. Tune in to your show Saturdays right here at 89.3 FM, 8 a.m.
Yes, and thank you for being there when we need you. I wouldn't have known where to turn.
Yes, ma'am. You're welcome.
All righty.
You're listening to The Consumer's Eye. Feel free to call us at 488-9552, 488-WKKC. Good morning. You're on The Consumer's Eye.
Yes, sir, Derek.
Yes.
Hi, this is Preston. I have a quick question, which something you said today that I really didn't know.
Excuse me for just one moment. Who did you say this was?
Oh, I called you Derek.
No.
I'm sorry.
What's your name? I'm
Preston.
Sorry. Preston, okay.
My question is, in terms of licensing for the security officers, you said something that was interesting, which I didn't know.
Yes.
And that they should be licensed.
Yes.
And when they take your packages at the store, that's a legal process.
Absolutely.
Okay. Can a consumer, prior to giving up that item, say to the security guard, are you licensed?
Oh, most definitely. You should ask them, are they licensed, and you'd like to see their pocket card.
Okay.
We're required, any professional licensee is required to carry with them a pocket card identifying their licensure, and they are required to display such card upon request. And then let me tell you something. If they are licensed and you and they say, well, I'm not going to show you my card, and you're able to finagle and get their name, we can make a complaint against them with the state and get their license suspended. Now, the problem becomes, which you're bringing up a great point, the problem becomes if they're unlicensed, what the hell do we do?
Right.
And so, therefore, as a consumer, your point is great because if we're dealing with unlicensed people, we pretty much don't have any recourse against them, and that can become a major problem.
Now, in that case, does the liability of that unlicensed person reverts back to the store owner? Because I get my haircut every 2 weeks, so I know that I'm assuming that the barber that I'm sitting in the chair is a licensed barber.
Well, you know when you assume what happens, right?
but I know by state
I understand.
Law that they should be
yes.
licensed or
yes.
a beautician should be licensed.
Yes.
I'm going to ask this one question. I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer.
Okay.
What does a person holding a license, what does that entails as it relates to the consumer. How does that protect the consumer? And if that person should have a license and doesn't, where do we go to complain about
okay.
that?
Great point. Thank you for calling. Appreciate okay, it. All righty. What he's indicating is a great point about the licensure of professionals. The Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations, which is the state agency that governs most professions outside of attorneys. Okay, they handle everything from security guards to real estate brokers to barbers, beauticians, cosmetologists, nail technicians, massage technicians, chiropractors, physicians, nurses, pharmacists, etc. So the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulations, they have a website that you can look up licensure of different professions, and there's a box there called License Lookup, and you can look up license of various professions. You also can file a complaint against professionals on their website, idfpr.com, I-D as in David, FPR.com. And more importantly, you can make a complaint. You can their phone number. I'm more of a phone and a letter guy. See, differing than our Stephanie Zimmerman, I don't believe in email. I don't think that you should file complaints with an email. I think that you should file complaints with a good old-fashioned snail mail letter. And if you really want to get technical, I think that you should file a complaint with an old-fashioned snail mail letter that is certified, because that's the way that litigation is instituted. It is known in the Code of Civil Procedure as notice. The only way to evict someone, the only way to take them to court, you can't take me to court by giving me an email.
Right.
You take me to court by giving me appropriate and proper notice. That notice begins with some type of certified mail, meaning you mean business.
Let's do a follow-up on the call that the gentleman just had, Derek. Now, go right ahead.
We have another caller, Charles, yes. Good morning. You're on the Consumer's Eye.
Yes, good morning, Derek. I'm just glad to be here. I'm Jerry Washington, former state representative.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Washington. Nice for you to give us a call this morning. What do you think about some of the issues that we are talking about here about refunds and exchanges and state laws and different things like that? I know you served in Springfield, and you were on a couple of those committees, particularly I believe you served on the Small Business Committee at one time.
Yes, I was. As a matter of fact, we were in a process of going over to China, Korea, and Japan with the governor. I was the only one in that group, and it had to be canceled because of a special session that they had to, my trip was canceled, you know. But it had something to do with small business at that particular time, because we did meet with representatives from China.
Yes.
And certainly that doesn't relate to what needs to be done in African-American community, but that's what it was at the time.
Well, yes, it does, because everything we buy in the African-American community is damn near made in China.
It is. You know. But, no, I was there, and I was there only because I was very concerned about the entrepreneurship ratio in terms of ethnic ratio situation in our neighborhood. And that's one of the reasons why I requested to be on that, because I want to try to not only give the input, but give the kind of input that would be supportive of bringing back to our community our own entrepreneurs that can service us in various areas. And
yes.
Right now we have a total elimination of almost every area, you know.
Most
of,
definitely.
Entrepreneurship from the gasoline to the mom-and-pop stores, which are owned by other ethnic groups.
Yeah, so are you saying then by inference that the business owners and the makeup of the business owners within the community also relate to consumer protection and relate to community relations? Is that your point there?
That very much is my point. And matter of fact, and those who are in the community now, certainly in the smaller aspect of things, they're not concerned about that, you know, as it relates to our people. Just like the gentleman, I don't know if you recall, about a week ago, went into some liquor store down, which isn't owned by a black man or woman, on horses and shot up the store.
On 81st. Yeah, I remember reading about that.
That's right in my community.
Yes.
I mean, it's ridiculous, the things that go on out here. And, you know, I mean, they're just taking control of our business. And somehow we have got to instill and help support our young men and women who are going on either through training process or through educational process to come back and be the business people in the community that will keep the money in the community instead of letting it go out. And then a lot of them have disrespect for our own people in terms of money that they have to go there and buy whatever they buy. You know,
good point.
I wish it was so that we could just stop buying anything from any ethnic group in our community. You know.
Yeah, good point. Let me ask you if you have any show ideas or topics that we should cover in the near future. We'd appreciate it if you would give us a call and share that with us. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I'd like to just say, and it's maybe not totally pertaining to what's going on today, but the thing is that, you know, that DeKalb, Illinois, Northern Illinois University situation, it ain't resolved, but the thing is that it was curtailed. But I had called the governor's office, Attorney General's office, and no one had a plan intact to address the issue that the black students in Northern Illinois University were being threatened, their life were being threatened to kill them, you know. And, I mean, in a situation, a racial situation like this, you bring in not only the National Guard, but you bring in the feds, you know.
Most definitely.
And there should have been a plan intact to address that issue instead of having local police. And, as you know, and I know reflection on the officials because I certainly support the law enforcement situation, but they weren't in didn't have the kind of power and jurisdiction to be able to control that situation. My granddaughter was locked down in her dorm among the other black students, you know.
Yes.
They couldn't even move around.
Interesting. I'd like to follow up with that. That's a good point that you're making there. In any event, let me thank you for calling us this morning, Mr. Washington, and feel free to call us any week and express yourself and so forth.
Well, thanks, Attorney, and I'm just glad to be able to put this out there because our community is lacking informative information that's constructive for our people's growth.
Yes. Well, thank you for calling this morning.
Sure. Goodbye.
You're listening to The Consumer's Eye right here on WKKC. If you have a comment or a question, feel free to call us at in our closing moments, 488-9552-488-WKKC.
Well, Derek, we certainly can say that our listening audience are very attentive to the subject matter that we're talking about here today because they are calling in with some very educated questions and information that will, you know, we can provide to others.
Well, people are this ain't no joke, see. This is reality, and that's what I try to bring on radio. I know that these security guards abuse people. I know that they take folks' bags. I know that people take your money. We got a call off the air about this Citgo gas station on 67th and State Street. 63rd and State Street. And whereby an individual's money was seized from that particular Citgo gas station. An individual witnessed this. So, and this is no reflection on Citgo Gas. However, I would like to know their policy. And so I'll be reaching out to them, that particular business, and we'll be following up with the corporation. See, because I wonder, do you treat white people like this? I wonder, does Walgreens look at, on North Michigan Avenue, I wonder, do they look at your money when you give them a $100 bill? I wonder, do they have security guards that seize your bags when you go into the store when you're in Wilmette and Winnetka?
The answer is
and,
no,
and,
dear.
And so forth. And if they do not, what and why are our communities allowing this? Why are our aldermen not saying anything about this? State reps, state senators? Who are these people? Block club presidents, organizations? So if you're listening to the show today and you're an organization, you're involved in your community, you need to be interviewing the local business owners, finding out why they are doing this to your community, finding out what their policies are and so forth, because you can rest assured, listen at this, I ain't never gave a security guard my bag. And I never will. Okay? If you want my bag, tell you what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for you to indemnify me for the goods and items that are within my bag. Okay? And so
good
I want
point.
You to be liable for what you're taking from me. We have another caller. Good morning. You're on The Consumer's Eye.
Yes, good morning. This is Pamela Dominguez, and I just want to thank you for the information today. And I know I used to work at a currency exchange. And we were instructed if somebody brought in fraudulent money, counterfeit money, to confiscate it, and they would turn it over to the bank. And not knowing, you know, that was the procedure that they were told. But that's a real good point, that if it's counterfeit, call the police.
Yes. So now let me get this straight. Now, and you're a regular listener, yes. And I forwarded you some material. Appreciate you calling us. As a former currency exchange employee, you indicate that your training was if money was allegedly counterfeit, you were instructed to seize the money.
That is correct.
Okay, now, upon such seizure, how did you do that? What did you do with the money?
Well, if they give you the money, you have it in your possession.
Yes.
And you just sell them it. And I never did it, but that was, but, you know, even if they give you a bad check,
right.
We kept the check.
Okay, did they give you a receipt or something saying
no.
that they're...
No. And so, and you know, and I just want to say real quickly, too, I was just sharing with my granddaughter, who is 18, how just yesterday that a lot of things that go on in our stores that are against our rights, younger people don't know because it's been that way all their life.
Yes.
So they don't even have the sense to question
yes.
some of the practices
Great point.
That have been instilled.
Great point.
Okay, keep up the good work. Well,
thank you so much right. for your
Happy
call and appreciate you. Same to you.
Okay.
Boy, it's been an exciting morning today, and we see that we got people who are willing to stand up, people who are willing to fight back, and that's what the Consumer's Eye is all about. On that note, let me thank the WKKC station management. Let me thank our engineer for a great job this morning, Mr. Keith Reed. And most importantly, we'd like to thank you for listening to the Consumer's Eye. Good morning.
Good morning.